Let's give thanks to God for our worship team. Yeah. I don't know about you, but we could have just kept going on and on like that. Isn't that all right? Good to see you, brother. It's good to worship the Lord. I don't want to put him on the spot, but just in praying about our time, the Lord put on my heart that last song we were singing, Praise to the Lord. I emailed Jeff late last night and just asked if he would do it, and he just, him along with the team, just willing to serve. It is so good and important to fix our thoughts, our mind, and our affections on Jesus. And I love the rich tradition of songs. We have modern-day hymns. We have old praise songs. There's all kinds of songs, some of them better than others. You know, no shade or disrespect, and pardon a little feedback. But to the degree of which they put our focus on Jesus, on who God is and what he's done, these things help us. And so that song, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, that's a good thought to think about. You know, that life and breath that we have. I work in a hospital where people are helped with ventilators. You know, it's your breath in my lungs. We pour out our praise. So while we have the capacity on our own to use the very breath that we have to say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me. Is that all right? Yeah. Is anyone in here? You can clap your hands. I hope someone is glad about Jesus. That's the best I can give you. And today is a really exciting day on several fronts. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table in a moment. But to see two precious little baby boys dedicated to Jesus, and you are a part of that. We want to encourage you as a church family, and I'm a part of this family, a part of the kingdom. It's been said it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so as we commit to follow him, our commitment will impact other people. And so the mission of this church, the leadership, and you as a family, following Jesus, making disciples, impacting the world. And we heard that you have an opportunity, saw the pictures of the little ones up here, and Kelsey shared some exciting things that are happening. So we hope and pray that you are growing in your faith and you look for opportunities to serve, and how about working with our own kids? Amen. Oh, boy. I'm holding back stories, but some of the folks who've impacted me the most were Sunday school teachers. How to work out the complex theologies of suffering. People have written a long time about how can God be good and yet people suffer? How can God be good and all-powerful and yet people get sick or mistreated or hurt or die? I can pull out tomes of books and resources to go through that high theology, but let me tell you about Sister Maria Weeks, bus driver, Sunday school teacher, local community evangelist. She knew the real Jesus, on fire for the Lord. One of the persons that I always look forward to seeing, Mrs. Weeks, because the way she interacted with us, one, we knew that she loved us. Because I grew up in the church, I love the Lord, I love the church, but sometimes folks, in the time I grew up, they were kind of, meanness was seen as piety. Kind of had the church lady, SNL kind of thing. And I get it, they didn't want us running wild in the streets and things, and that was their way of trying to, but the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your. And the letter that we've been going through, Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. So Maria Weeks, who drove a bus, loved us, and had so much fun telling us stories, she survived domestic violence. was abused by her husband, raised her kids on her own, and yet and still she overcame all of that. And her cup was so full of the Holy Spirit that she loved us like we were her kids. I didn't write any of this down. I'm just letting the Spirit flow. Because the reality is if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll shed some tears. You may go through some hard times, but he will be with you in that doctor's room. He'll be with you at your job. He'll be with you in your home so that you can, as we're going to look at in the scripture, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, what a great God we serve. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the joy of fellowship with, first and foremost, with you. And we thank you for the privilege to offer up worship as an offering. Oh, and also fellowship with one another. Make us to be more like Jesus. Help us to let go of the trinkets of this world that distract us from real joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to pass this around, and I'm going to ask the guys, if you have that slide with the Roman prison, if I appreciate if you put that up. We're going to get to that. I have here, and sorry for the people online, this is a picture years ago when I did relief and development, and it was a blessing to serve with Children's Hunger Fund. We went to all kinds of places, but one of the first places I used to go quite often is Uganda, and this is around when the LRA insurgency was pretty high, and some of y'all are familiar with that if you heard of Invisible Children. Anyway, so all that's to say, we're on the edge of a village, and I was sitting in a boat, and I watched these two little boys. They, you know, just came from a really humble area. They rolled a log into the water, and they were swimming. I'm just going to head, and you can take a look and pass around. And these two little fellas, I watched them for about an hour, because I was sitting there. I went back to the boat because we were about to head back, and they were having a ball. They were laughing, having a good time, and many of the villages, and no disrespect to our brothers and sisters in Christ there, they were facing poverty. Like, not like I don't get to eat what I want to eat, but not having enough to eat. But these two little fellas were having a ball, swimming, kicking around with a log, and just having a blast. And so maybe this is a metaphor, but when I watched them, it just struck me that you can find contentment in the goodness of God in your life. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. I can be happy when I get surprised for my birthday, and that's an experience. And yeah, I get some barbecue and hang out with my family, all of that. But joy is this abiding gladness of a relationship with my God and my Savior. That is not predicated on what's in my bank account, not predicated on anybody clapping for me, not predicated on whether I have holes in my shoes or I'm wearing some. It is the goodness of God being acknowledged that the joy is a direct fruit of that relationship. And so as we walk through this last chapter, and I'm so glad to be with you today, the Apostle Paul is writing. And throughout the letter, and if you read a letter, you just start from one end and go to the other, but one of the main themes in the letter is joy. It's joy. And if you see on the screen, he's in a prison. And back then, prisons were pretty much holes in the ground. They lowered you in it, and you usually were waiting to be executed. And as I've shared before, it could be cold, it could be dark. It's not like, and I'm not a fan of prisons. I mean, I know that you need to use them. I'm not saying it's Motel 6, but compared to modern day prisons, this is a far big difference. Sewage went through, it was cold, they were exposed to the elements, and pretty much when they brought you out, it was to be executed. But it's in this place that the words that I'm now about to read from Philippians, as I hasten, and I have to watch the time, come to us. And just keep that up. And I'm going to back it up a little bit. Yeah, here we go. Verse 20 of chapter 3, and then we'll flow into 4. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or report, if there is any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things which you've learned and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So in our brief time, before we celebrate the Lord's table, rejoicing in the Lord. Paul in this letter, throughout this letter, has been encouraging the Philippian church towards unity, towards an abiding relationship with Christ and with each other. And throughout it, he's commended them to have joy in the Lord. And this last portion of the letter, as he's entrusting them to the Lord, he speaks about how there's a citizenship that they have in heaven that they're eagerly awaiting. Now, a little bit of it, as you've been here with me before, the Philippian church was located in Philippi, which happened to be a Roman city. And as a Roman city, there were certain benefits that they had being a part of the Roman Empire. Some say retired legionnaires and Roman soldiers went to live there. And there was a mixture of Jew and Gentile, and there was a certain status involved with being a citizen of Philippi. But in this latter part of the letter, Paul is saying that they have an even greater citizenship in a place that will never end, which is heaven. And he commends them to keep their focus on that even while they're living in this. Do you see the balance? And he talks about, and you can read in chapter 3 a little bit before the end, that there were people who unfortunately they lost sight of the Lord and their God was their belly, was their appetite. It was earthly, fleshly things. And it is easy, you can see, and if you're praying, the illustration here, to lose track of who we belong to and where we're going. So Paul, in this last portion of this letter, gives some commands, and time will not allow. You can do a deep dive in any of this here. But he shares three things which I commend to you as well. Stand firm, live in harmony, rejoice in the Lord. So if you write notes, you might do that. First, stand firm. In light of this great citizenship that he has, and he says, in a longing way, I long to see you, my joy and my crown. Stand firm and watch this in the Lord, my beloved. The basis of our stability in this life has to be rooted in God. That sounds really basic, right? But Jesus says, he who hears my words and obeys them, I will liken this person to a man who builds his house on a rock. Winds blow against it, rains fall, but that house stands. We're having a little Bible study here right now. I like the interaction. And that's true. If whether we begin our day or even life's journey where you have a sense of God being at the center of your life and you're striving to obey him by the Holy Spirit, it makes for stability. And who here will testify that life will have some winds blowing? Life will have some rain flowing. You will have some hard days. But notice, if you want to read for yourself, in Matthew, somewhere between 5 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, the one who hears my words and doesn't do them, I will liken, this is what Jesus is describing, that one to who builds a house on sand. Winds blow against it, rains fall, and what happens to that house? It falls. We don't want to be like that. I love going to the beach when I can. You could build a nice big old sandcastle, but by the end of the day, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. We can live our lives, in fact, we'll put it on a positive, building on Christ, the solid rock, and see what he does with it. Is that all right? So the standing firm is not in anything of ourselves, but in the Lord. I gave that example of the SNL church lady thing, being mean and cold, and I love the Lord, I love the church, but sometimes we as Christians, we have a reputation of being mean. Maybe it's just me, I don't know. And there have been times of, Charles, you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm all right. Well, your face doesn't know it, you're all right. So we want to be firm in him. And that conviction gives us stability in life. Because Paul is writing from a jail. So it clearly wasn't in his circumstances, but it was in God. So that's the first, stand firm. Let's move on to live in harmony in the Lord. I urge Euodia and Syntyche, to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, we don't know that true companion's name, but he's there. I ask you, help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement. And if you know a bit of church history, Clement was one of the early leaders in Rome. Many say that this was him. He wrote things. That they were with him and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Live in harmony. First off, what a wonderful thing to have your name listed in the book of life. Let me just park it right there for a moment. That God would give on his apostle the words to commend these people, and there's a call to live in harmony, but let's just take note that they are the Lord's people. And they're in heaven with him right now. Now, having said that, they also had the honor. These are two women who were serving alongside an apostle. And I know that the issue of men and women could be argued and debated and sometimes in a mean way. But notice the dignity that God gives to his children. That God has mightily used women and men in his kingdom. That should be clear, but let me just say it like that. Now, having said that, could you imagine being a Philippian church and you get that letter read and you're Euodia and Syntyche? Tell those ladies to get along. And fellas, we can't get off scot-free. Sometimes we gotta be told to get along too. A part of the joy life in Christ is a willingness to seek unity with your brothers and sisters. I'll just leave that right there. Yeah. Live in harmony in the Lord. I'm going to testify for a moment. Brother in Christ, I've known for years, and we were working together on a project, and we met, and we had a conversation, and we were about to do something. And then at the last moment, he just did something completely different. And can I tell you, I was angry. And it fell in my lap, and I'm like, dude, that's not what we talked about. And I was burning, I was angry. I'm just testifying now. And I had to pray about it. I said, you know, I had legitimate reasons. And him and I had a conversation. But before we had that conversation, I had to repent. Because I was right about something, but my attitude was wrong. You see that? The Pharisees were, they knew the law to the T, but yet the Spirit oftentimes was far from them. So I say that, so even though Yodia and Syntyche, messing up her name, were in a way rebuked here, I could receive some of that too. All right, let's move on. And then rejoice in the Lord. So the prescription to live in unity and to stand firm, it goes back to the source of joy itself. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Let's listen to the medicine. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Joy is not the same as happiness. If we find our joy in anything else other than the Lord, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. I'll never forget working in a particular situation, and this particular supervisor, he was something else. But he taught me this one thing. He gave this illustration. He was doing a marker board. He says, hey, if your expectations are here, and he drew a line way up the top, but the reality of what you're dealing with is here. The difference between the two is your frustration. And he hurt my feelings when he said it. It's close to 20 years, but I still remember it. Because this part wasn't from the Lord. This is what my expectations were, even not of him. When Paul, who's in this jail, says rejoice in the Lord, he is not saying rejoice in your job. Rejoice in your family. Rejoice in your health. Rejoice in your strength. Rejoice in your children. Are these things a blessing? Are they gifts from God? But if we elevate them to a point that they shouldn't be, and should in the plan of God he take some of those things away, where will your joy be? Brother Pastor said it, depression. I can take you on a trip through psychiatric units. And the number one emotion that I see, and it scares me at times, is anger. And some of them will say, I'm angry with God because, fill in the blank. So Paul in this prison is full of joy, full of peace. Is life hard still? But the reality of his God and his Savior is not only is stabilizing him, but it's filling him with joy that's beyond the circumstance. I want to offer this to you, that your God and your Savior who loves you desires to have that intimate relationship with you. So Paul says these things. And he goes on, by the Spirit, let your gentle spirit, or some would say temperate spirit, be known to all men. The Lord is near. The nearness of God can affect my attitude. The reality of an abiding, loving God that we just sang about, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. I have an Almighty God, so I don't have to foist myself on anybody or control anybody or be big and bad, because God is the ruler of the universe. He's active and present in our lives. Let's give him praise. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He's a forgiving God, and you can have him as the joy of your soul. And the songs we just sung, I invite you to sing them to him all by yourself. There are times where I'll be singing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs. I think about Joseph Scriven, if you know his story, that the reality of a living God, let me just say this plain, Jesus is real. And you can have a joy jumping out of your shoes, happy with God's goodness. And people can get to know you in that way. Paul says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. When you have an almighty God, you can afford to be gentle. You don't have to be like the church lady or the church dude, you know. You know, yeah, you can be happy. Yeah, in the Lord. He goes on, the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I have to watch the time. That abiding relationship will affect our anxieties and fears. You see it for yourself. While we were worshiping the Lord, I would hope no one was thinking about, you know, oh, my bills, my health, my kids, my family. All of those things, as we put our mind on Christ, the anxieties go down. So that when you and I go back to them, we invite the Lord into those spaces, and his peace begins to kind of just give us a supernatural way of going about it, and he gives us the prescription. Instead of being worried and fearful, pray. With a sense of supplication, you bring them to God with an open hand, that if he would, that he would bless, provide, guide, guard, with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you have the answer. Thank you, God, you are the answer. Did you see that? I'm bringing these things to you. Job had challenges, and at the end of his story, God says, I'm your answer. He started off complaining, but at the end, he says, I put my hand over my mouth. Oh, the Lord will make you shut your mouth. Yeah, he will. I'm almost done and about to shut my mouth. And look at this, and the peace of God. Who wants peace? The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, can't figure it out, who surpasses all human will, look what this peace will do, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a power from outside of us coming in to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. And people will say, how in the world have you not lost your mind with all that you've gone through? That's why Miss Maria Weeks can work her full-time job driving that bus and bounce into church fired up. Clemens, how you doing, young man? I'm so proud of you, young preacher. Come on, sit down with me. How's school going? She was not anybody's victim. Oh, finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's good repute or report, any excellence, anything praiseworthy, dwell on, think on, focus on, meditate on these things. We will have joy when we put our minds and hearts on Christ. Notice I said we, because this is the medicine I have to take too. Start off your day like this. The things you've learned and received and heard from me, this is Paul, practice these things. Look at this. And the God of peace will be with you. This is the God that I serve. One of my friends, Jerry, Vietnam veteran, God bless his soul. We would sit and talk, have conversations as he was nearing the end of his days, and we'd pray, we'd sing hymns. He reconciled with family he hadn't seen in a long time. He said, hey, Charles, can you help me write a letter? We'd write letters and mail them out to people. And his daughter, who was estranged from him for 4 years, he would write to her, and we'd pray. And, you know, whenever we would part, I say, Jerry, you know, if I don't see you, tell Jesus I said hi, all right? He said, yeah, Charles, I'll tell him you said hi, all right? And that was our greeting, you know? And one day he slipped into unconsciousness as he was about to pass. And I came to the room and I saw his daughter sitting by the bed holding his letters. I'll never forget that. And Jerry is with Jesus. Jerry had joy on his last legs of his journey. God rest the soul of this soldier and law enforcement gentleman and father who tried to make things right in his life, and the Lord did it.